Yes, it is. Back home, be back in church. I want to tell everyone that was able to help with the Brother Wilson's funeral how much I appreciated it, and it was, maybe a little bit of an inopportune time, but everybody pulled together and we got it done, and appreciated everyone that helped us out. And just did a really good job, and I know Sister Wilson really appreciated it, and I was glad that they had the funeral here at the church, because Brother Wilson said that he was going to get back in the church. And of course, we didn't expect him to come, for, you know, it'd be his funeral the way he was back in here. You know, I was talking to Brother McGowan today. They're in Nashville. Their daughters, one of the kids graduated, so they went for their graduation. But we were just talking about that and just reminding one another of the hope that we have. We have a great hope that the Lord understands everything about our lives. He understands how our, you know, we put this together, all of this trying to embrace the plan of God. The more you serve Him, the more you get to know about Him, the more you get to understand God and God's ways. And of course, we are to get to be more like Him. The more we serve Him, we should be more like Him also. And so, it's a growing process to become like Him. And, you know, we're not going to get like Him just overnight. It takes time. It even takes time to, just like I said, to embrace your getting to know God, you know, from the first time that you are saved, first time you get this message, God deals with your heart, and you really make up your mind to make a commitment to serve God. And sometimes, even in here, I'm not sure we even get that out of our little ones. Sometimes they just, you know, they just get grafted in, or grandfathered in. They, you know, I know I was kind of like a little church brat, you might say. I just, you know, Mama took all us kids just every time she went. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I didn't know what I was getting. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't. They wouldn't have no altar call. I don't know. I'm sure they explained it several times, but I was just a kid, you know. I wasn't paying all that much attention. But I got it, whether I wanted it or not. But it was God's grace. It's just God's grace and His mercy that touched my life because of what was stored up. My mother stored up mercy before the throne of God. She prayed for me, dedicated me as a baby, she taught me about God. Of course, I went through all the little Sunday school classes and learned about, you know, whatever I could learn. But after I received the Holy Ghost, I knew I was supposed to live right. I mean, I knew what some things it was sin was. I knew I was going to school, and I knew that the kids at school was doing things that we wasn't supposed to do. And I knew that I was in that group with some of them, you know, doing things I wasn't supposed to do. And I can remember going through stages, or, you know, phases, I guess, is after I got saved. This went on for several years after I got saved, or after I got the Holy Ghost. It's like there was Brother Sugg, was it Gene Sugg that wrote the song, "It Seemed Like There's Two People," or was it Everett? Yeah. "Seemed Like There's Two People Down Inside of Me," he wrote that song. One is, how'd it go? One's wanting to serve God and the other wants to be free. Is that how it was? It's a pretty neat song. You'd have to be in the body to even understand it, really. Have you got the words to it? I'd like to just, if you can get them, I'd love to just be able to not sing it, but just to say them, because it's a unique song that he wrote. Anyway, Because that's how I felt. I felt like there's two people. And it's really that way. Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're receiving something, a life, the life of God. And it's His nature. His nature is wrapped up in that life that's actually born in you. That's something that I don't think it's explainable. As much as we can put words together to make reason, I just don't think we can explain natural. You can't even explain natural childbirth hardly. I just was talking to my wife just the last few days. I said, let's go over this again. How a kid gets, how does this all work? We know how, we know a child is conceived and it goes to a germination period and then it goes to a development stage and finally it's born. But, to know what makes that life, that's God's part that we just can't explain. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I can't explain to you what God done, how it happened, but I know enough of the scriptures, and I know enough about what's happened to me and what I've seen happen to other people, that there's a birth takes place. There's a new birth. Jesus said, of course, to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, there is that birth. When you're born of God, there's a, that God takes on a responsibility to deal with you, to work in your life. And it's unique how God does it because he doesn't just force you. He doesn't force this on you. It kind of helps us to see how God, what kind of father he is. He doesn't force his children to serve him or to do what's right. At the same time, he can use force. But he does not give into force. He's not going to make you do the right thing. He may encourage you. He may put pressure on you. He may even whip you. God can and will. I don't think he whips little children too much, but I think he does when you get up, a little bit older. You start trying to embrace more in your understanding and you realize that, God's requiring something out of me that he's never required before. But I can remember in school, I can remember going to school and, by Wednesday, I was right back in the sin. But Sunday, I got saved again, Brother Tally. I'd go to church on Sunday, and the Lord had touched me, and I'd repent of my sins, and I'd get all cleaned up all over again. But before the next week was out, I was in trouble again. Sin, I couldn't get shed of it. I was like a snake trying to get rid of that outer coating, and I couldn't get rid of it. You can't change the spots of a leopard. I felt like there was a leopard inside of me, and I couldn't get rid of the spots. I was trying to get rid of this sinner, and I couldn't get rid of him. I didn't have enough of God. That's one of the things, is you've got it, and God understands that. God understands what you go through to embrace him. The idea, the concept, it's a reality, but still it's a concept in your mind. You're still trying to figure it all out. And some people spend a lifetime and never get it figured out. Some people never, ever figure it out. But that's what I was going to mention about Brother Wilson, Brother McGowan and I was talking about, was the hope. that we came to a knowledge of understanding. If I didn't understand the doctrine of resurrections of the just and the unjust, I couldn't, you know, it'd be hard to give someone as much hope as I can give them today. But there was a thief hanging on the cross that just his heart, just his true contrite repentance. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what was said on that cross. But I know more was said than what was written down. Had to be. Because Jesus granted that man a righteous, just resurrection. This day. He didn't mean this 24-hour day, but he meant the day of the Lord. That day that was upon the church. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. That Jesus was making a way back into paradise. A way for God to have a relationship again with man. Through a new birth that would make paradise available. I don't think it's not available when you first get the Holy Ghost. I don't think those that got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, I'm not sure that they were they didn't enter right into paradise. They had to go through a process to get back into paradise. But they were born of God. That the love of God. Let me read you a scripture in Romans. I'm in Romans, the 5th chapter. I know we've got several out of town tonight. Different ones that are missing, but anyway, I appreciate everyone that is here. And I hated that I wasn't back. I got back from the Dominican, by the way, I came back early for Brother Wilson's funeral, but we had a good meeting in the Dominican Republic. I felt like a lot accomplished. I got there on Friday afternoon. We had church Friday night in Fuchsia at Brother Jackson's church. Brother Rudy is his overseer. He's got a church in Higüey that is about 30 miles from there, and he was there. And there was probably, I don't know, maybe close to 100 people there. And anyway, we had a really good service. And then Saturday, I don't know if I can remember what happened every day, but we had church every day. And I've got new pictures, by the way, of Brother Calderon's building going up. They had it all of the blocks up, and they had the, let's see, what do we call it when they glaze? Is that what's glazing block that you put concrete on it on the outside and inside? Is that called glazing? Anyway, they got it completely glazed while I was there, and they got the iron beams up and got it all welded up and inside and out. It's ready for the roof, the metal on the roof to be put on it. And then they'll pour the concrete floor. That's kind of how they do it over there. They put up concrete block and do everything else, and then they get a roof on it, get it in the dry, then they go inside and pour the foundation, and they just use the walls as their forms. But anyway, they're putting the roof on it this coming week. They've got everything ready for that, and then they'll do that'll probably go up in just a day or two. Well, it's going to be a nice church. Brother Calderon's real excited about it, and I am too. So we'll get you some pictures up on the overhead, maybe. Maybe I'll get them up tomorrow. I'll get them over to Brother Painter. Anyway, we had to cut our trip short, but we still had a good meeting. We had a meeting. I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And anyway, when was the funeral? What day was that? Tuesday? I was back for that, I know. So... anyway, we had a really good meeting over there and had good services. I was in meetings day and church services every night. I was there, I guess, except for one night. We had a Bible study then. Anyway, the fifth chapter of Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith. One of the things I'm working on, y'all remember Brother Liniger talking some about fruits and roots? Well, I'm working on that some. What is the, you know, every fruit has got a root. And then I think there's a taproot to all the fruits. He says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, here he says that hope makes not ashamed in the fifth verse, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You and I were given the Holy Ghost, which is the life of God, and he calls it the love of God. He identifies it as being the Holy Ghost, but it's the love, God's love and his nature's love. Of course, love is the whole package. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's the taproot. God is love, and all of, you know, the Holy Ghost is what produces. It's the life of God, but it has to be. It does have to be germinated. It does have to be taken care of. It does have to be. You can't just take the life of God and just let it be dormant. It won't produce anything. But if you'll take right, if you'll follow God's instructions and take the proper care of it, it'll produce fruit, fruits of the Spirit. It'll produce, and eventually, the love of God will be formed in your life, my life. That's why I'm sure Paul spent so much time in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians on charity or agape love. That is the root of to all the other fruits. It is love is a fruit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, kindness. We know what they are. Paul mentions in Galatians 5 there, he mentions 9 of them, and then there's 3 more that's mentioned in the Book of Revelations. There was a river of life and a tree on either side of it that produced 12 manner of fruits. And I think that river of life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that flowed out of God through Christ on the day of Pentecost. And the tree on either side of it is the same tree of life. If just one side of it was the Jewish church in the Jewish world, and the other side's our down here. It's on our side, the Gentile side. And it, but it, that tree produces in both worlds. It produces 12 manner of fruits. And the Holy Ghost, which is the love of God, but even though it's the love of God, because it's the life that He gave us. For God so loved the world with agape love that He gave His only begotten Son. God, think about that for a minute. God only ever made one thing. That's all He ever made. That ought to tell you something about His love. That He wanted others to enjoy. He wanted His Son to enjoy, you know, even though it was His instruction and how. But He wanted Him to be able to do the making. And God, I think God wants you and I. He's given us, there's a liberty and a freedom in us that He wants us to develop out of our own desires for righteousness. He don't want to force us. And He don't want to make us that way. But God just made one thing. At least the beginning we know about, He just made one. That's all we know about. He made His Son, and His Son made everything else that was made. And, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but how many of you men would take your son and teach him how to do everything he's going to do and do it through him, and you don't get no glory? He gets all the glory. He's the one doing it all. You're just telling him how to do it, and you're backing up in the shadows. You won't even let anybody see you, so you can't, nobody can glory in you too much. What a God. I mean, how are we going to, you know, I don't know I don't think we can fathom God, hardly, you know, but I know one thing, what part of Him I can fathom, I certainly do love. I may not love Him enough yet, but I just am in awe of Him. The more, I like that old song, you know, that says, the more I trust Him, the more I, help me with some of the words. Yeah, it's sweeter as the day go by, but I thought I could get more of those. The more I what? The more I love Him, the more I trust Him. Nothing good for me. There you go. He'll deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. It gets sweeter. And it's true. The more you serve God, and the more you understand Him, the more you see His love and His patience. It's like I said, there's so many people that's been hurt. There's people that's gone through, you know, they got shook out of church. Now, there's a lot of people that gave up and quit, too. I understand that. They don't have an excuse. Really, but I do know God understands. He understands where we're at, and He understands, you know, if you haven't embraced Him properly, you know, if there's a reason that's justified, He understands that. You're still His child if it's not justified. He still loves you, and He still wants to save you. And He's still going to resurrect you. You're still going to stand before a judgment seat that's going to manifest God's fullness. Now, you may not get it. You know, God told me this in the Dominican Republic several years ago. I know God spoke to me as well as I'm standing right here. In the middle of a night, in a motel room, it was dark, and I was going over what had happened that day and that night. The things God did, it was a miracle that God performed in the Dominican Republic with my hands and my mouth, the anointing that was there. I was just laying in bed thinking about it all. I'm just thinking, Lord, this is unbelievable. What's happening? And I just was meditating on that, and the Lord, I got quiet, and the Lord spoke to me. And you would have thought He'd said something besides this, but it scared me what He said. He said, I'm going to use you whether you get it or not. And that has stuck with me. When God speaks to you, you know it's God. You'll go over and over and over. What did you mean by that, Lord? Of course, I know what he meant by it. He's going to anoint me. He's going to minister to them people. He's going to touch them people. And I may not fully get what he's using me to give them if I don't really apply myself. The reality of it. Now, you can have a lot of experiences with God and not really get settled, not really get established in you. And it just, you know, it does take God. It takes time. Even this process that Paul's dealing with, talking to the Romans, that we're justified by faith, but just because we believe and we have peace with God. That's a wonderful, marvelous thing when you come to God and you feel clean, you feel good, you feel like God's took my sins away. I feel better than I've ever felt. I don't feel any condemnation. I feel like I really have, God's really touched me and my sins are really forgiven. And I feel clean about it. I feel good about what God's done for me. There's peace in my heart. I can lay down and go to sleep with peace in my heart now. And he said, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now we've got our mind turned towards serving God, being a part of his kingdom, living. You know, I've tried to, even as a minister, a pastor, I've tried to embrace how we're supposed to do this, even in the body of Christ. You know, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I don't think it's by accident that God started off with a family of Abraham. It grew to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and finally grew into 70 souls, and then it finally, he put them in, you know, a place where they, over 400 years, where they had to really realize they needed. But when God took them out of that, there were so many of them, and he took them through a wilderness experience, and he put them in tribes. It was big families. I think we've lost something by losing the family units. We've lost something in that. And I know God understands it has to do with our society, but if you get too far scattered, I can just tell y'all right now, you get off on your own life doing your own thing, you're not really a part of a church family, you're not really connected, you're going to become more a part of the world than you are a part of God's kingdom, I can just tell you, because you're not going to have that connection. You're not going to have that wall of protection. You know, it's a wall of protection when you know my life well enough that you know just about everything about me and I know everything about you. There's a wall of protection in that. I can't let down my guard even when I'm discouraged, because I'd be letting some of y'all down. I'd be letting down some of what God's built in my life that I've got to be an example for, you know, to be a part of this. And then, you know, and the same thing with you. You're part of the wall. You're part of we can't let the world come in this, and we can't let God leak out of it. We've got to have what Noah's Ark had. We've got to have a pitch. This thing's got to be pitched within and without. And you can get too scattered in here. You can get off too much to yourself. You can get off. That's why I hate to see people. You know, I know we live in, you know, Little Rock's a big city. We're scattered all over it. But I remember there. I can tell you there was a benefit in Fort Worth, Texas, where they owned about 6 square city blocks there, and everybody within that 6 city blocks went to that church. Your next door neighbor sat in the church pews, went to the same church you did. They helped one another. They worked for one another. They had businesses, different ones, and the different ones worked for people who owned businesses, and they It was a big church family. And there's something to be said for that. It can be carried too far. You can get in a ditch on either side of this. But I know there's a benefit, because I know what the world does to people. I know what the world does to your young people. I was just talking to Brother Dial just today on the phone about something else, but we got it started talking about. He was bringing up, you know, how he has a blog on the internet where he just writes things that he feels like are essential, and he just puts it out there. And he said the thing that he gets cussed out for, you know, all kinds of radical statements back at him, is anything that he says biblically against homosexuality. And I told him, I said, Brother Dial, I can tell you right now, our young people are already being brainwashed to not feel bad about homosexuality. They're being brainwashed. You can't hardly watch a commercial. You know, they're cramming it down our throats. And you know, it's becoming so much a part of this world. And I found this out because right here in this church, and it happened in Republic too. When I preach hard, when I start talking strong against homosexuality, I can tell the young people didn't like it. It bothered them. It created a stir in this church. Of course, we had some homosexuality spirits going on in this church back when I didn't know it. But I felt, you know, God just dealt with me. I couldn't get off of it. But it manifested those spirits. And, I know God will have to help you young people, because, you know, the way they're going about this to condition society is the way that they went about help me with the word. Isn't that something? When prejudice, racism, they're using the racism tag, the card. They're using the racism card. You know, they can, there's no question or doubt about the fact that, you know, we've had serious prejudice and racism in this country in the past. I mean, you know, you go back to the days of slavery and the war, civil war, and emancipation, and you know, all the history that we've got on that. It's, you know, and then they came up. When was it? Back in the 70s when they came up with the movie out from the book Roots, is that when it was? That they put that out, and that I think that opened up a lot of people's eyes to see a lot of the wrong things that were done that we didn't even know really. We didn't know what all was done. But they're using that to make us feel sorry for, you know, these people that are born this way. This is the way they're saying they're born that way. I do think people can be born with biological problems that causes a man or a woman, a man to be maybe more feminine than what's normal, and the same way with a woman. But but I think most of it is a spirit. I think most of it is a spirit of, you know, the flesh. It just keeps pushing to greater extremes and greater extremes. Nothing satisfies the flesh. And I'm not going to get off on that tonight, but I have to keep myself from it. But anyway, I know that, and what got me going in that direction is talking about the breakdown of family, the family unit, the wall of protection that we have. And our society has got us, you know, where we're chasing the almighty dollar to the point that we don't see anything that has a great priority over the dollar. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of things that is better than riches. Riches, you know, there's a balance in finances, personal finance, that makes life a lot easier. And if you're in abject poverty, life can be pretty tough. Life can be pretty tough, and it can be difficult. I think there's a balance God wants us to get to, but I don't think God wants us to put Him ahead of us. I mean, put us ahead of Him. I don't think He wants us, you know, to put our livelihood. You know what the Scripture says? It said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness." That has to be first in your life. And then all these things will be added to you. Take no thought of, you know, what you'll eat or wherewith you'll be clothed, or you know, in other words, your livelihood. Don't put that on your front burner. If you'll put God first, He'll see to it that you have those things. And I'll tell you something else. He will bless you as He sees fit. He'll bless you when it's time to bless you. He won't bless you. God don't work. He's, you know why? Because of that taproot. It's the love of God. He knows your life, and He knows what you need, and He knows what you don't need. And I know God well enough that I know that you get too far. If you're God's child and He loves you, you get too far out of balance with God, you can bet. I hope you don't bet really bet. But you can be sure that God's going to make some correction in your life. And He may, you know, He chastises those He loves, and I guarantee He loves every one of His children. So just every one of us are in for a chastising if we got one coming from God. If He, you know, He loves us. But this whole big relationship that we're working on to get to know Him, to get to really find Him and His purpose in our lives, it takes some people more than a lifetime. Some people will die, and they might die like the thief on the cross. They may die just. That's just how good and merciful He is. He'll just go ahead and let you resurrect in a time when the bride, making the brides available. You know, if you're just, he'll make a way for you. But that don't mean necessarily you're going to make the bride. But it does mean it's going to be available to you. It just takes being just. But there's something in our lives, there's something in our spirits that's developing and I've been wanting to work on this. I may do it in, I don't know if I'll do it in Bible study or what, but I want to go through the 12 fruits. And what are the roots? And how do you produce the fruit? How do you produce the fruits of the Spirit? Because, you know, He talks about that in Galatians, the 5th chapter, that if you walk in the Spirit. You want to turn over there and look at that right quick? You can't walk in the Spirit until you've developed enough of the fruit of the Spirit that it's really working in your life. It's like the love of God. If we ever, that's what perfection is. You have perfected God's love in your life. That's what all those fruits are. They turn into being love. You love the lowest sinner, and the chief elders, you'll have the proper love, the proper respect, the proper awe. You'll deal with the baby like God would deal with it. You'll deal with somebody that needs to be corrected or even rebuked because you love them and you know they need it. They got to have it. They can't go on like they're going on. They've got to be corrected. You know, God uses people. And so it's part of the whole package of God. Anyway, in the fifth chapter of Galatians, in the 24th verse, said, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." That you do that by just developing. Let me tell you something. You can't mortify the deeds of the flesh without the Spirit of God helping you do it. And the way you kill the deeds of the flesh is by encouraging the fruits of the Spirit, developing righteous principles, and embracing and enhancing your life in righteousness is what destroys. If you just set out to try to overcome the things that are wrong with you, you've already lost the battle. Because you can't, with a law, overcome the flesh or the deeds of the flesh. And it's going to take the Spirit of God. You got to turn this into a positive thing. You got to start embracing the righteous principles of God and loving them. Just like there's joy and then there's rejoicing. There's gladness that we are to rejoice in. There's a rejoicing in being free from sin and being having the righteousness of God working in you, and the goodness of God and the good word of God and the Spirit of being touched by the Spirit of God, the encouragement, the zeal that it gives you to feel the life of God. We got to keep doing it. We got to keep pressing. We got to keep pushing and reaching out for the Spirit of God in all of our services. Not every service can't be a move of the Spirit, but we've got to have enough mixed in, because that's the life. That's the water that makes this thing work like it does. In fact, I'm mad at some of you singers. I've been thinking about y'all the last few days. I thought, why haven't they been singing for us? Why hadn't they got up here and encouraged us with song and blessed us? You've been sitting down on us. You ain't been helping us like you are to. We need singing in here. We need rejoicing. We need y'all to help us. You know, I'm not really mad at you. I'm just kidding. But I would like to encourage you to help us. I'd like to, if I had to, I'll plead with you to help us. Somebody testify. Somebody sing us a song. Try to do something to lift us up and encourage us. And I know some of that's going on, but I think we could have some more of it. But anyway, he says here, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But for us to really walk in this Holy Ghost nature, it's got to be developed in. It's got to be a part of us. It's not just laying there dormant, but it's got to be enriched. It's got to be developed. What did Jesus say? He said, "I'm the true vine, and if you abide in me, and I abide in you," well, you got to work on abiding in Him. You got to cultivate this being grafted into that vine. You got to cultivate around that. You got to work at that to bring forth fruit. And I know it takes. It does take a lot of the Spirit of God. Brother Scotty and I was looking at a little peach tree in my front yard the other day, and it had so many peaches on it last year that it broke two limbs. And we had to brace them up, and we duct taped a limb And we got it, and it produced. That duct tape limb that was broke, we got it put back together, and it produced some still. And he was telling me, he said, "Have you looked at this tree?" And I said, "Well, I hadn't really looked at it." But he said, "Come out here and look at this thing." And he said, "I think it's got more peaches on this year than it had last year." And I said, "Well, we've had a lot of rain, and it's just loaded." So we decided to brace it up before it breaks them limbs this year, and so we save our duct tape. But I know if we really had a lot of rain in here, we'd get more of the fruits of the Spirit working. It'll produce something. The Spirit of God, it's rich, and it flows like a river. And that's why that pure river of life. There's a tree of life that has 12 manner fruits. You can't get the fruits without that river. You got to have the river of life, the love of God. Now, it won't be developed into love in you but it's love working in you. And it'll produce faith, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, hope, brotherly love. It'll produce these things in your life, and we gotta have it. And so, just because I know God understands all of our shortcomings, He understands our uprising. You know, the 139th Psalm. Wherever we're at, God's there. He knows our uprising. He knows our downsetting. He goes before us and behind us. He knows all about us. There's a word in our mouth. He knows it, the psalmist said. That doesn't mean that, you know, just because he knows it, it's all right. But somewhere we've got to decide, look, I know enough about him that I need to get more busy than what I've been to cultivate the things of God in my life, to get the proper, get down to the roots of this and get the roots fed, you know. And I know the tap, I got to stay into the tap. I've got to stay in the Spirit of God has got to stay alive in me. And I don't know, we might ought to just have some services where we say, we ain't having any preaching this service. We're just all, everybody get up front. Let's all see if we can get a hold of the Spirit of God. Let's see if we can woo it in here. You know, I'm not saying we're going to do that, but I don't think there'd be anything wrong with it. Because we need it. We need his Spirit desperately. And it'll wash the things away. That's why you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Can you remember the love of God that's shed abroad in your hearts? Can you remember what it felt like you loved everybody? My Lord, just ain't anybody. Bring anybody in here you want to, I can love them. I feel God's love working down inside of just to get a full saturation of it. And I know we don't have it in its full true balance, because we wouldn't know right then. It's pretty hard to even rebuke somebody when you're in that spirit. But you'll grow. You will grow to a place in God where you could, you know, you could come right out of a deep move of the Spirit and sit down with somebody that needed the proper kind of counsel and give them the right counsel. And it might be hard to give them, and it might be hard for them to take, but it would be what they need. And, you know, so it takes a development. But regardless, aren't you glad? I mean, aren't you glad you're still here? Aren't you glad that he's still working in your life? And he's still, you're still embracing, you're still trying to get this. I know you don't have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. So how come I know you don't? I know we're still working on this. But what I do have, I asked Brother Emilio Green, driving from Putacana, after we had service, I flew down there Friday. We had service that night. Then we couldn't take the main highway 30 minutes to go to La Romana because Brother Rudy had a van load of people that needed to go to Higüey. So we got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember what time it was, but I was wrung out. But I remember asking him, I said, Brother Green, I said, if you could trade everything you've got from God for everything you don't have, would you make the trade? He said, no, first. I said, Brother Green, I'd trade right now. I'd make the trade right now. I said, let me tell you why. Because I'd get back so much more than what I've got plus everything I traded. Because when I got what I don't have, it'd give me back what I gave up. That's just how God is. So I'd make the trade, but I wouldn't trade what I've got for this world. That song said, I wouldn't trade what I have for this world. Oh, no, I've come too far to turn back now. There's nothing, there's nowhere to go. And there's nothing that's better than serving God. I feel secure in Him. I really do. I feel like that I know He loves me. I know He knows where I'm at. I know I'm in His hands. He's not finished with me. If I don't live very much longer, I'm planning on it, but I don't have a hope of tomorrow. You know, I mean, I hope for tomorrow, but I don't have a promise of tomorrow. But I know that if I was to pass out of this life, you know, anytime in the near future, I'm secure in Him because I'm His child. What a hope. What a peace to have. Praise God. So keep serving Him. You young people, you don't have it all figured out yet, but let me tell you something. You could pass up one of us old fuddy-duddies in a very short period of time if you really was to apply yourself. I just know that about God. God, sometimes somebody can just hone in on God and just, I mean, the Lord can just move them up the ranks so fast and use them. Look, Jesus was just 33 years old when he left this world. And he reached perfection in that time. And I'm not trying to ask you to get where Jesus was, but Stephen was a young man. And we think he made it. And there were other young men that, you know, weren't old men when they died. One of the apostles, James, was a young man. He wasn't an old man when he was martyred. And no doubt he probably made it. But God can use you. I don't care who you are, how little you are. Elisha, God's liable to use you. Get ready for it, Hannah. The Lord's liable to move in on some of you young people and use you in a great way. I know you've got God in your life and God's touched you in a great way. So, I just want to encourage you that this is a big project. God's project is big. And the more I realize what we've come through as Gentiles, I realize that the religious world out here is still endeavoring to embrace this connection with God. And do y'all realize that when God gets a church restored, that He, in a short period of time, God's going to bring them people out of Babylon and give them, in a short period of time, everything we've got. They're going to get it. We've been working on it in here in the body for over 100 years. I know it's in God's time frame, but there's going to be some people come in here in the 11th hour and they're going to get the same penny we got when we come in the first. Maybe some of us come in the first hour. And the love of God said, that's good. That's what the love of God says. That's wonderful that somebody can have what took me 50 years to get in 5 years. They could get it. Or maybe a year. Hallelujah. What's wrong with that? That's wonderful. Love says, give it to them. Let them have it. Let them Be blessed with the good things of God and the good understanding and the wisdom and all that he has. Oh, bless the Lord. Look what Peter said. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings that we might be partakers of the divine nature. My Lord. This thing's going to get down to where we've got all of it. And, you know, we're not going to be having trouble with, you know, divisions and ideologies and private interpretations of scriptures. God's going to give us the unadulterated Word of God before it's over with. I've got confidence in God for that. I know that a great bulk of our message is unadulterated, that came from the throne. The Lord gave that to this brotherhood. There's things we've got that are precious. They came straight from the throne room of God. And they'll never go away. They'll never subside. And don't get discouraged. Encourage yourself. You come too far in this to check out. There ain't nowhere for you to check into. I mean, that you wouldn't like the world anyway. You don't even know how to live in the world, hardly. I mean, I know you can lose out and go blind and become a prisoner of this world, but you don't want that. Anyway, maybe I'll get that words to that song one of these days, and we'll read them to you, because they're precious. All right, before we go downstairs, let's take the prayer request. Remember here who we need to pray for. Sister Dolores Bryant, she's having a cancer removed, and she's trying to help take... Karen had surgery last week, and she's taking her and Larry taking care of the dog kennel, so they're covered up trying to do that. So remember them in prayer. Sister Abraham, all right. Sister Abraham's family, keep praying for them. Brother Phil, all right. Brother Wallace, remember him. Lynette and Sister Rachel's out of town. The McGowans are out of town. Brother McGowan had a wreck, totaled his car. Nobody got hurt. They had their granddaughter with them. They took her to the hospital, but they released her, said she was fine, she's not hurt. So, and he's going to get a, he said, oh, looks like I'm going to get a new car out of this. So I said, well, all right. Being better if you just could buy one, it wouldn't go through a wreck and have to do all that. But if you get, you know, at least some good to come out of it, you know. So let's pray for him, Brother Mike. All right, let's remember Sister Lacey. Keep praying for her, Brother Sister Joanna. Out of town. Isn't she? Is she back? The road's blocked off, water or what? Oh, she can't get close enough to see what's wrong. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Let's pray God will help her get through that. All right. Yes. Sister Crafton. What did I call her? Did I? Well, it is Lacey Crafton, so I was half right. Are you? Probably, God probably will have people quit doing that when it quits bothering you. That's probably when it'll probably get removed. Anyway, Brother Painter. Yes, the crows. We don't do that on purpose, I promise you, I don't. It's just, we've called her that so many years, it's hard, but we know who she married to. Sister Jamie. Brother Anthony's working tonight. Who else am I missing here? Yes, Sister Inez. Let's keep praying for her. We mentioned the Crows. All right. Anything else I'm leaving out? All right, Yes, Brother Jimmy Dickens. Sister Janice used to be Bill Supmiller's wife, and then she was Brother Horton's wife. And both of them passed away, and she took care of them until they did. And now Brother Dickens has really been sick. And I told her not to marry him. I said, if anything happens to Ann, I want you for myself because you take such good care of people. And after I thought about it for a while, I said, forget it. Every guy you marry dies. And I said, I don't want you anymore. But anyway, all kidding aside, he just got out of the hospital yesterday, and he's got heart trouble. He's having many strokes, and he really does need our prayer. They're precious people. Brother Jimmy Dickens, he's in Brother Bryce Parker's church in Republic there now, and pray for them. Brother Parker's been talking to me and counseling with me, and they've made a bid on some land to buy, and he's wanting to get a piece of land to buy. And the Republic Church is doing good right now. They've got some, you know, a few new people, and they're excited about it. And a few people got the Holy Ghost recently, anyway, so they're trying to buy a piece of property in hopes of building a new church in the future. So let's pray. Keep them in our prayers. Keep the Dominican Republic in your prayers. Keep praying for that work. Brother Lionel in Providence, Rhode Island, he was there the whole time I was. Him and his wife came there to be in that meeting. And God's touching him in a new way. So keep them in your prayers. He's got a little church, probably 35, 40 people in Rhode Island. But I think he's getting a deeper touch, deeper vision. Brother Green had him do quite a bit of the interpreting for me. And a time or two, he got so broke up, he couldn't turn. He had to stop and let half Brother Green to help finish. It got to him, the different things we were talking on, questions being asked and teachings. And he got so broke up hearing it and interpreting, he just couldn't go on. You know, it touched him. That blessed me that, you know, God's touching him that way. That happened to Brother Green back when we first started. So keep them in your prayers. Lionel Arechi, A-R-E-C-H-E, that's Brother Green's nephew. But his wife, Bianca, Lionel and Bianca, they were there. And they were in almost all, they was there the whole time I was there, and in every service, I guess. So it was a blessing. All right, let's all stand. Let's ask God the ushers will come, we'll receive the offering and tithes, and let's ask God. Of course, Sister Inez, we need a miracle. I'm holding out for a miracle. I keep telling God, you remember Jesus, that little woman you said was like a standing before the unjust judge? Just kept asking him. I said, that's me. I'm still asking you to give us a miracle. Touch Sister Watson. There's nothing too hard for God. He's more than able. I know that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, your goodness. Oh, God. For that pure river of life. Oh, God. Blessed Lamb of God, we need you, Lord. We need you in a great way, Lord Jesus. Touch us and help us, God. Meet the needs, oh God, that were mentioned here in this assembly. Those that are out of town, on the road. Sister Joanne, God, make a way for her to get home tonight. Let her get through that traffic, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God. Meet these needs, Lord. That's Brother and Sister Crow, Sister Julie. God, touch her. Touch her and help her. Touch her body, oh God. Sister Wilson, comfort their hearts, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ishalamahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, your children, watch over them. Touch them, oh God. Help us, Lord. Oh, Sheila Mahadi, Asakaramokoto, hallelujah. God, oh God, we give you praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen, all right. Lord, bless you as you give tonight. Got snack bar downstairs after service, fellowship, and so maybe we can have some of that family contact down there. Lord bless you tonight. No, not having anything tomorrow. We never did really decide if what we was going to do about that. Maybe we'll try to do that tomorrow, decide what we're going to do.
More I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good for me He'll deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. We'll be right back.